Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 91 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
We're always on the alert. This is a good example of cooperation between the state agencies, the auditors and the Attorney General's office, and that's part of our core mission.
That's Kentucky's Deputy Attorney General J. Michael Brown commenting on today's sentencing of a former Elliott County clerk and her deputy clerk.
A Clearfield woman died today following an SUV and motorcycle crash.
And a controversial anti-overdose drug may soon be available in Kentucky's high schools.
In sports, the Cincinnati Bengals begin their preseason tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Right now, we have plenty of sunny skies with temperatures in the lower 90s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Sentencing came in today for a former Elliott County clerk and her deputy clerk. Former clerk Sheila Blevins and her sister, former deputy clerk Jeannie Moore, had pled guilty to complicity to commit abuse of public trust under $10,000. The cases were investigated by the Department of Criminal Investigations within the Office of the Attorney General. Deputy Attorney General J. Michael Brown says the Office of Special Prosecutions handled the case.
Both had vacated their public offices. They got 5 years of probation, and they were in a felony diversion program. The felony diversion program would mean if they complete to the satisfaction of the court the diversion, they pay restitution, which they've already done. They have no more crosses with the law for the next 5 years. Then at that point, their charges would be dismissed. However, they will not run for public office again.
Blevins and Moore repaid nearly $9,000 to Elliott County. The discrepancies became apparent when the state auditor's office made a review of the clerk's office in 2014.
A Clearfield woman injured last weekend during a collision between a motorcycle and an SUV in Morgan County has died. Kentucky State Police say 46-year-old Janet Caskey was a passenger on the motorcycle and had been flown to St. Mary's Hospital in Huntington, which is where she died today. The operator of that vehicle, 46-year-old Thomas Tufts of Flemingsburg, was killed at the scene Saturday. Troopers say the driver of the SUV, 42-year-old Teresa Haney of Olive Hill, was seriously injured and remains hospitalized. The accident happened on State Route 7.
Police in South Point, Ohio, are investigating a homicide after a man was found dead in an apartment. WSAZ reports the man was found at the Meadow Lane residence by someone else living in the building. Police say a homicide is unusual in the area and the town in general. Lawrence County Sheriff's Office and Ohio BCI are assisting in the investigation. The victim has not been identified.
A Northern Kentucky woman has been sentenced to nearly 19 years in prison after providing drugs to her jailed daughter, who later died of an overdose. Local news outlets report that 44-year-old Kimberly Mullins of Crittenden was sentenced to 224 months in federal prison on charges of conspiracy to distribute fentanyl and morphine. Mullins had confessed to regularly sending heroin to her daughter while she was an inmate in the Kenton County Jail. She also confessed to buying a fentanyl and morphine mixture, thinking she was buying heroin. The Kentucky Department of Justice says Mullins' daughter, Jamie Green, overdosed on September 5, 2015. Two inmates have also been convicted after pleading guilty to being part of the conspiracy.
A controversial anti-overdose drug may soon be available at Kentucky high schools. The Clinton Foundation and Alpha Pharma are making available free of charge naloxone, which is used to reverse the effects of heroin or opioid overdose. Rebecca Blessing is communications director for the Kentucky Department of Education. She says school faculty would have to go through training before receiving naloxone to use in schools.
Certainly this is a drug that is designed to help save a life. Now it's time to train folks and get them familiar with how to use this drug and use it correctly in the event there should be an overdose in one of their schools.
Blessing says the drug would be supplied as a precautionary measure just in case a student or teacher has an overdose in the school.
Having liquor by the drink sales in Flemingsburg would help local economic development efforts. That's the belief of Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy. A petition allowing restaurants in that town to sell alcohol is being circulated by a group of residents. According to Foxworthy, having that service available is important when it comes to convincing business owners to locate in a community, since they want to know about various amenities it has to offer.
The first things, of course, are the education and the health care and infrastructure. There's a big emphasis on entertainment and relaxation, and, you know, do you have a nice restaurant? Do you have a any type of place of entertainment, and you know, there's a place we can go and have a drink with dinner or whatever. Well, unfortunately, we can't offer that.
The petitions propose allowing restaurants in Flemingsburg that seat at least 50 patrons and receive 70% of their revenues from food sales to sell liquor by the drink. Backers hope to get the proposal on the ballot for local voters to decide in the coming months.
The Carter County Health Department's new needle exchange program is being seen as a success. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Olive Hill Times, the program has seen strong participation from both sides of the county since it was enacted in January. Nursing supervisor Trenna Green says about 3,000 needles have been exchanged already. The program is being funded by the Carter County Drug-Free Coalition for this fiscal year. Needle exchanges allow intravenous drug users the opportunity to trade used syringes for clean ones. Its goal is to prevent the spread of HIV, hepatitis C, and other bloodborne illnesses. Health Department staff provides counseling and referral services for addiction treatment and provides disease and infection testing. For more information about the needle exchange, contact the Carter County Health Department at 474-6685. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Things continue to move forward with Moorhead State University's search for its next president. Current president Wayne Andrews announced earlier this year that he'll retire next June. Paul Goodpaster chairs MSU's Board of Regents and is leading the nine-member committee charged with finding Andrews' replacement.
We hope to begin to advertise for the position beginning about September 30, and that advertisement would close, the search would actually close around November 14th.
Goodpaster says an executive search firm has been retained to help identify a group of candidates for the search committee to interview. Goodpaster's panel has been holding open forums around the area to get the public's thoughts about MSU's next president. The next forum is Monday at 4:30 p.m. at Maysville Community and Technical College. There will also be one at 4:30 on Tuesday at MSU's Mount Sterling campus.
Mitch McConnell says holding on to his job as Senate Majority Leader after this fall's election won't be easy. The Kentucky Republican spoke Thursday before the Middletown Chamber of Commerce.
It's very dicey. We meaning Senate Republicans, have 24 members up. Our Democratic friends only have 10. So as you can see, we were going to be on defense anyway, no matter what was going on at the presidential level. And we have very competitive races in New Hampshire and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin and Illinois, Florida, and now over in Indiana. It's a dogfight.
McConnell says he continues to support Republicans' nominee for president. The senator says he has differences with the Donald Trump campaign, but believes Hillary Clinton has a major ethical blind spot that should prevent him from becoming president.
Republican State Senator Damon Thayer is applauding a state legislative ethics commission decision, dropping an ethics complaint against him. A former Scott County Democratic Party chairman had alleged that Thayer used his position to gain special access to the hospitality tent at the Kentucky Rolex three-day event, a charge that GOP leader labeled frivolous and politically motivated. Thayer's relationship with the Kentucky Horse Park came under scrutiny during the 2016 General Assembly after he waged a legislative campaign to reform the park's board.
I believe that there is evidence that in a lot of our boards and commissions, reform is needed. This just happens to be the one that I care the most about because it's closest to my home and my district.
Former Horse Park chairwoman Alston Kerr told the Lexington Herald Leader in March that Thayer had applied for and not received a position with the three-day event, leading to questions about Thayer's motivation for challenging the board. The Georgetown senator said evidence of political patronage, wasteful spending, and low morale were the reasons behind his push for the board changes, which Governor Matt Bevin ultimately made by executive order.
GE is closing two plants in Kentucky. Kurt Darling reports.
GE Lighting has announced that it plans to close the Lexington Lamp Plant and Somerset Glass Plant by August of 2017. The plant in Lexington makes traditional non-LED lighting products, while the Somerset plant makes halogen lamps. Officials with GE say that both plants are operating below 80% capacity due to an all-time low in consumer demand for traditional lighting and a market shift toward LED lighting. In all, more than 200 jobs will be lost. I'm Kurt Darling.
A jury has determined that a hospital in London, Kentucky, and its parent company should pay more than $21 million to a Corbin man who received unnecessary heart procedures. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that the jury ruled Wednesday that St. Joseph Health System and Catholic Health Initiatives were negligent, violated consumer protection rules, and took part in a conspiracy after performing a heart procedure on Kevin Wells. Wells alleged that the hospital performed the procedures to boost payments from health programs and insurance companies. Wells' attorney, Hans Pope, says a doctor at the hospital recommended Wells get a pacemaker, although other doctors would later say he didn't need one. The hospital argued that the treatment Wells received was necessary. Pope says the defendants are likely to appeal.
Hemp pilot projects are said to be thriving in the Commonwealth. Thursday, University of Kentucky researchers offered updates at the school's Spindletop Research Farm, touching on crop health, applications for livestock, and other areas of interest for growers and processors. State Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles said packed hemp field days are being held across Kentucky show that enthusiasm is on the rise and state leaders would do well to take notice.
We not only need to grow it here, but we also need to turn it into a final product. And I like to consider that an economic development component of our administration, that this is about jobs. It's no different than a new factory creating a new product.
But hemp remains in legal limbo. While Congress approved pilot projects in the 2014 Farm Bill, it has yet to decouple the crop from its more controversial cousin, marijuana. Thursday, the Drug Enforcement Administration announced that it would not be relaxing its view on pot, which will stay a Schedule I controlled substance for now.
A group in southeastern Kentucky has closed on a long-awaited deal that will allow it to build a wildlife center that officials hope will become a key tourism attraction. WYMT reports that the Pine Mountain Regional Industrial Development Authority on Tuesday finalized the sale of 500 acres of land to the Appalachian Wildlife Foundation for $700,000. The land had been part of an empty industrial park in Bell County near a bridge that local residents had taken to calling the Bridge to Nowhere. Officials say they hope to break ground for the planned education center as soon as next year. The foundation projected last year that 600,000 visitors will come in 2021 to see the site's elk, black bears, and other wildlife.
The city of Ashland is paying tribute to one of its most accomplished athletes. City commissioners declared Thursday Evan Cox Day in honor of Cox's NCAA Division III golf title. The Blazer High School graduate won the championship in May while he was a student at West Virginia Wesleyan University. Cox will be on the University of Kentucky's golf team this year and hopes to join the PGA after graduation. No matter what happens, he says, he'll never forget his Ashland roots.
You've got to be proud of where you're from to be successful. I'm a firm believer in that. Pogue Elementary, Verity Middle School, but now it's Ashland Middle School, and Paul Blazer High School. It's a place where I've met a lot of great people. I've been around a lot of great influences.
Cox says Ashland City Commissioner Amanda Clark's son was his best friend in high school, and she has been like a second mother to him.
And finally, this afternoon, over 1,000 chairs, files, tables, and more will be sold at a public auction in Frankfort next week. The items are surplus furniture from Kentucky state government and occupy four floors of an office building at Buffalo Trace Distillery. Buffalo Trace had leased those floors to the state, but now says it needs the space because of the bourbon boom. Pamela Trotner is with the Finance Administration Cabinet. She says the state agencies that once used the building have moved out, but much of the furniture has been left behind.
All the contents will be sold in one fell swoop or as one lot, from chairs to shelves to tables and filing cabinets. So they're now deemed as surplus and will be sold.
Trotner says the auction begins at 10 a.m. Monday.
4:43 the time, you are tuned in to Mountain Edition. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor John Modaff. He digs into his overflowing mailbag.
People are back from vacation, and so the mailbag is overflowing. We'd best get right to work, providing answers to pressing questions. Here's one in an airmail envelope, but it's taped shut and was slid under the office door. Dear Professor Modaff, are you not just sick and tired of people like Donald Trump encouraging ignorant followers to commit violent acts? Signed, Gun Rights After Mind Rights in Ocelot. Well, GR, I am tired of it, but also encouraged. People are finally starting to come out, in all shapes and sizes, on the issue of incitement to violence. This is ear butter to a speech teacher, for it means people are realizing that words are taken as real things. What's disappointing is that who the speaker is appears to influence whether someone gets upset or not. The words themselves, then, are not the only determinant of offense, sadly. In other words, there has been a lot of unchecked open incitement to violence in the last few years, so the uproar over the Donald may be just a little too late. Oh. Dear Professor Liberal Blowhard, even though I do not know you, I'm sure the name fits because, after all, you are a professor, and everyone knows most professors are liberal as... So that aside, here's my question. Can all of you so-called teachers just keep your opinions to yourself during this fall election campaign? I'm sick of my kids coming home from middle school to college, all ranting about how the Republicans are evil slime or how America is a land of depredation. Signed, Albert Ryo, originally of Wisconsin. Albert, I share your concern. Many of us strive to keep our opinions to ourselves, so that students may never know how or even if we intend to vote. Any disclosure can wait until after the election, if one must say anything. But really, what teacher would sink so low as to use his or her influence and position to sway impressionable young minds? We all know the best thing we can do is, when relevant to coursework, encourage discussion that is radiant with depth and diversity of opinion. That's college, right?
Hell, you're great.
I see once again our time slips away and a wee pile is left undone. Let's skip the questions and get right to answers. To B. Smith of Carbondale, Illinois, a web listener, you were a fabulous teacher, and don't let anyone tell you any different. Giving us the first day of spring off was brilliant. To Andy Smith, same town, you couldn't fence a backyard, so keep your foil in its bag. To D.C., B.B., K.R., and Chris, all of the village known as Elbow, yes, no, possibly, and I'm pretty sure a piece of sausage, even a piece of really good sausage, isn't fit to eat after it's been under the bed for more than a few days. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University.
And here's a quick look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy with some isolated showers. Humid with lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is 20%. And tomorrow, partly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms. Hot and humid. Highs around 90. Chance of rain is 20%. In Ashland, it's 93. 89 in Flemingsburg. 91 in Inez. 88 in Lexington. 88 in Winchester. And in Morehead, it's 91 degrees.
The time is currently 4:47. Coming up next, Braxton has been keeping an eye on your sports world. He is up in 30 seconds. Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds open a weekend series with the Brewers tonight at 8:10 in Milwaukee. Even though his rebuilding Reds are only 46-67 so far this season, Brian Price says managing a young ball club does have its share of positives.
We've had a lot of firsts this year. We've had a lot of beer showers at the end of a win, you know, with guys getting their first hit or their first save or their first win, you know, whatever it may be. And that's the fun part of youth, you know, of young guys that are getting a chance to come up and play in the big leagues.
Veteran Homer Bailey tonight will make his third start since his return to the Reds rotation. He's 1-1 this season. 6-11 Jeff Nelson will pitch for Milwaukee. After winning six series in a row, Cincinnati has now lost its last two. Just one afternoon baseball game of note, the Chicago Cubs lead St. Louis 9-1 in the seventh inning. The Lexington Legends will look to end their four-game losing streak when they face Augusta tonight at 7:30. 6-5, Yannier Marte will take the mound for the Legends in that one. After a spirited scrimmage this morning, members of the Morehead State Football Eagles met with reporters at Jane Stadium during the team's media day. Four-year starting quarterback Austin Gayhafer believes MSU will compete for a Pioneer Football League title this season. He says the Eagles' preseason practices have gone well so far.
Both sides of the balls are improving each and every day, and you know, it's camp, it's a grind, and you know, we're getting over it. But you know, it's tough, but you know, guys are out here doing their job, and you know, it's exciting.
The Eagles went 7-4 last season. Gayhafer was the PFL's Offensive Player of the Year in 2015 after passing for over 3,200 yards and 24 touchdowns. MSU opens up at James Madison on September the 3rd. The Cincinnati Bengals play their NFL preseason opener tonight. After working out with the Vikings the last 2 days, the Bengals will face Minnesota for real at 7:30 at Paul Brown Stadium. The contest will give quarterback Andy Dalton another chance to refine his timing with the Bengals' new receivers.
I think the biggest thing is if they're trying to get to the right spot and I'm trying to throw it in the right spot, you know, that chemistry can come pretty quick. And so I feel confident with the guys that we have and where we're at.
Tonight will mark Dalton's first game since he broke his thumb in the Bengals' loss last December the 13th to Pittsburgh. Members of the Round County football team are looking forward to hitting on someone besides a teammate. The Vikings will scrimmage Russell tomorrow at 5 p.m. as part of the EKC grid at Raceland High School. The outgoing will give Round coach Gene Peterson a better look at what kind of team he'll have this fall.
I guarantee Russell will expose any weaknesses that we have, you know. And then again, it'll show us some of our strengths too. You know, we'll be looking forward to that. And you know, as far as getting ready for the season, and it's one good thing, it's more game like.
The Vikings play their 2016 opener next Friday at Clay County. The University of Kentucky has announced the date for the annual Big Blue Madness campout. Will Clark reports.
Big Blue Madness is October 14th at Rupp Arena with ticket distribution set for September 30th at 10 p.m., but construction on the Lexington campus is causing some issues. UK officials are asking people to use Ticketmaster rather than the traditional lineup outside of Memorial Coliseum. UK will allow those who want to wait in line to set up camp no earlier than 5 a.m. September 28th, with control cards issued on the afternoon of September 30th. For those who can't make it, Big Blue Madness will be televised on the SEC Network. I'm Will Clark.
The United States men's basketball team will look to stay undefeated this evening at 6 o'clock when they face Serbia in Rio. After a 10-point win last game against Australia that seen the U.S. trail for much of the game, forward Kevin Durant says he and his teammates are having a little bit of a difficult time adjusting to the officiating at the Olympics.
It's physical here, but it's like, you know, they're calling the touch fouls and they're calling the, you know, I can't even explain it. It's kind of weird. Whereas the NBA, you know, they try to control it. You know, you can be really physical, but they still try to control it just so, you know, things won't escalate to anything bigger. Here, they really don't care about it escalating. You know, they feel like they can always control it with a quick tech or, you know, a quick call, but they still let you bang. I don't know. It's really weird.
The USA is 3-0 so far in the Olympics, while Serbia sits at 1-2. Former Kentucky forward Alex Poitras has reached an agreement with the Indiana Pacers, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo. Poitras, who went undrafted in June's NBA draft, will spend next season with the Pacers D-League team. Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon thinks his Eagles can make a big improvement this fall on 2015's record of 10-21. Gordon says that's because MSU returned several key veterans, led by outside hitter Meredith Jewell, last year's OVC Freshman of the Year.
But we've also got a great senior class. You know, you've got a setter in Bailey Nickel, Hope Villema, who will be coming off of her injury. Sydney Schuler had an outstanding spring, and then a lot of leadership from Stacey Silver. So we're excited about the youth, but also, you know, really going to rely on the experience that we have in that senior class.
The Eagles open with Robert Morris on August the 26th in a tournament down in South Carolina. Finally in sports, the U.S. women's soccer team is out of the Rio Games. AP correspondent Sagar Migani reports.
The defending World Cup champions have been eliminated in the quarterfinals. Sweden scored a win in the first Olympic match to go to penalty kicks. The Swedes converted four times against Hope Solo to knock out the gold medal favorites. It's a stunning loss for the U.S., which had played in the final in every Olympics since soccer debuted in 1996, winning four gold medals in that stretch. Alex Morgan scored the only regulation goal for the U.S. Sagar Magani, Rio de Janeiro.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower as investors digested disappointing economic data following a record-setting day yesterday. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a small loss of 37.05 at 18,576.47. The S&P 500 was down 1.74 at 2184.05. The NASDAQ Composite was up 4.5 at 5232.9, so another new record closing high for the NASDAQ. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15-14 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Retail sales for July came in unchanged, which was a disappointment, as economists expected a 0.4% increase. Also, the July reading of the Producer Price Index showed a decline of 0.4%, and economists had actually forecast a 0.1% gain. Other data released today included business inventories, which rose more than expected in June, and consumer sentiment for August, which came in below expectations. Oil prices rose, with U.S. crude settling at a three-week high of $44.49 a barrel. Baker Hughes said drillers added 15 rigs for this last week. Overseas European stocks traded lower, with the Stock 600 index slipping 0.16%. Asian equities rose broadly, with the Nikkei 225 and the Shanghai Composite both advancing more than 1%. Gold futures for December delivery fell $7 to $1,343 per ounce. And among Dow Jones industrial stocks today, your best performers were ExxonMobil and Chevron, of course on the back of stronger oil prices, and your worst performers among Dow stocks were DuPont and IBM. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Nordstrom and Nvidia, and your worst performers were Transocean and Mosaic. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 40 cents at 112.79, CSX down 2 cents at 28.06, Marathon Petroleum down 21 cents at 41.69, AEP down 18 cents at 67.54, AK Steel down 31 cents at 5.03, and Anthem was up $1.98, finishing at 130.18. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Let's take one more look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including Lewis, Morgan, and Carter counties. Tonight, some isolated thunderstorms and showers possible. Humid, lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is 20% for your Saturday. Partly sunny, isolated showers and thunderstorms, hot and humid. Highs around 90. Chance of rain is 20%. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and a chance of thunderstorms. Humid with lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is 50%. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Humid, highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 50%. And for your Sunday night and Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 70. Highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 50%. 93 in Ashland currently. 89 in Flemingsburg. 91 in Inez. 88 in Lexington. 88 in Winchester. And currently in Moorhead, we have 91 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Pan Gonti, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Network, Kurt Darlin reported. Our commentator this afternoon was MSU Professor John Modak. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR news stream, I'm Sean Delaney for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.